The opinions expressed on the following sponsored program are strictly those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of this station, its staff, management, or sponsors.
You are tuned to Natural Doc Radio, brought to you by AMT Centers, bringing you health information based on the latest research from respected sources around the world. Learn what you can do to enhance health, strengthen muscles, maximize memory, and energize all the systems of your body. Every day, listen for health information on the latest testing procedures available at AMT centers, as well as the interpretation and action needed based on your test results. Listen for special events at advanced medical testing centers. Tune in. Get healthy. Now, here are your hosts for the hour, Dr. Herb Slavin, MD, and Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutrition counselor.
Hello, and welcome once again to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Cimarelli, and for the next hour, lots of information that you can use to improve the whole picture of your health. And with me this morning, Dr. Herb Slavin. Good morning, Dr. Slavin.
Well, good morning, Janet.
And you had a very interesting guest yesterday on the radio. I was not able to join you, and your guest was Dr. Mike.
Right, Dr. Michael Arendt, chiropractor. I think our listeners probably know a lot about chiropractic.
I would say.
More than most doctors, probably. But I have to tell you, I remember having a conversation in the hospital with a radiologist who had a back problem. And he went to a chiropractor and had the vertebral axillary decompression treatment done, and it solved his problem. He had a herniated disc, you know, didn't need any further treatments. The interesting thing is that's how most people, I think, stumble upon alternative medicine. You know, mainstream wasn't helping. They try something else, it works, and they become a believer.
And I love it when it works. And unfortunately, so many times, so many treatments are applied to a particular illness that the person is seeking medical help for, and they don't work. And so, okay, they try the next thing and the next thing and the next thing. And sometimes when it's pharmaceuticals that are being recommended, the side effects of the original and secondary pharmaceutical put the patient in an even worse position. It's very, very scary.
And most people don't realize that. They say of the, I don't know, maybe 30,000 different types of ailments you might have. You know, there's a new CD10, I think, something. It's about coding all the ailments. I forget the nomenclature there. It used to be 9. Now the newer version is 10. And they want to know, you know, it's not enough that you came to a doctor for back pain. They have to subdivide into what type of back pain. They're trying to figure out everything. I'm not sure to what end, because certainly their approach right now isn't doing much, and I don't know what they're trying to figure out. And of course, they don't share that information. They just want to gather as much information as possible. If it's all about getting better results, you know, they could stick with what they have now because they're not getting great results.
Whoa.
Well, think about it. I mean, people are still getting sick at the same rates as ever before. When we talk about sickness, we're talking about, if, at the top of the list, if you talk about deaths, but we don't have to go there yet. We just talk about the run-of-the-mill problems that people suffer from, high blood pressure. Diabetes is on the rise, but even before diabetes, you have insulin resistance, metabolic syndrome, so that's and that encompasses what would be called prediabetes, hypertension, hyperlipidemia, which is elevated cholesterol and triglycerides. So, you know, these problems are on the rise.
Okay, Dr. Slavin, are these problems on the rise because they keep changing the criteria to categorize your blood sugar, your cholesterol, your blood pressure in a different category. And what I'm thinking about is mostly older individuals, people over, let's say, the age of 60 or 65, where blood pressure might be a little elevated. Are they truly candidates to be using a blood pressure lowering medication? Are they truly candidates to be using a statin or other type of cholesterol lowering drug? Or are those markers incorrectly categorizing these people as having either an illness or a symptom of illness?
Now, that's a good question. And I think there's some bit of truth there. They do. They've lowered the levels for blood pressure, for cholesterol. Diabetes, not so much, but they've uncovered, because they never spoke about this before, insulin resistance right. as a pre-diabetic stage. They would always wait till it reached the point of needing treatment for diabetes.
But always the number for fasting glucose on arising was 120. Now it's 99. And so they've kind of, I'll say, monkeyed around with the number. But that isn't such, that's possibly a better.
But I think the one point, and I can't argue with you on that, but I think the one area that you'd have to agree with me is people's weights have gone up.
Okay, now, people's weights have gone up. The obesity, overweight numbers in the United States and truly around the globe in industrialized nations, those numbers are staggering. And let's take a look at what might be several contributing factors. The replacing of sugar with high fructose corn syrup. And so there's a completely different physiological response to high fructose corn syrup than there is to regular sugar. So the other thing is you have to watch your fat. You better be careful. Go on a low-fat diet. And what was the replacement for that fat in your diet? Processed carbs. And, you know, it goes on and on and on.
Well, you know, when you say that, and I seem to get the big picture forming in front of me, and that big picture is going back to Abraham Flexner back in the early 1900s, who represented the pharmaceutical industry to get the medical schools to change their approach to treating illness. And the change was to treating symptoms with their drugs. Okay, so now you have that in place. Then, you know, who prescribes the drugs? You have the doctors. Who gets the drugs? You have the patients. So you got to figure out a way to get the patients to the doctor, because we've got the doctors prescribing the drug now. How do we get the patients to the doctor? We make them sicker with the food we feed them. Now, I don't know if that's a conscious effort. It might be, because, you know, all these companies are connected at the upper echelons.
For sure. Like, there is a pharmaceutical arm to Monsanto, and that pharmaceutical arm, the former executive was Dick Cheney. So here's the government, the pharmaceutical companies, the chemical companies. It's a very, very big operation.
Well, I was wondering if the food companies are involved in that operation.
Okay. Here's my thing, and it's just a suspicion. I have no research to back up what I'm about to say, but when you start to look at a packaged food and you see the artificial colors and the different preservatives and the long chemical-sounding names that are, meant to enhance flavor or make you desire more of this product. When you see all of those words in the ingredient list of processed food, my thing is how does the person or team putting together the ingredients in that processed food come up with the need for all of those different chemical ingredients? And so my conspiracy theorist brain says, well, they have the gentleman's agreement that I'll buy so much of this chemical from your company if you buy so much of this chemical from my company, and it's a very, very inter-supporting dance.
That'd be interesting if the chemicals are being purchased from companies like Monsanto. You know, I don't
Monsanto,
know.
DuPont, Bayer, Nestle. And we don't necessarily associate those names, aside from Monsanto, with the devil. You know, people think Nestle, oh, hot chocolate.
If you think of traditional foods, if you go to Europe and you see all the markets all over, the food markets, there's nothing processed. There's nothing in boxes or cans. You're getting the fresh produce that's been brought from the farms to the place, and that's how you'd think you'd eat. This is real food. I don't think people in this country can recognize real food anymore. Everything is fake food, if you think about it.
Absolutely. It's very interesting because all through the countryside of Germany, there are kind of like the summer houses. These are tiny little garden houses, and each of the families in a particular little village or town has their garden plot. And they raise the vegetables that they're going to be consuming. So what could be better or fresher than that?
And so I think when you start seeing the overall picture, you begin to wonder, maybe there is something to that. We don't care if people get sick, because that's good for us. They'll go to the doctor and they'll get the drugs, and it's a vicious cycle.
So here's the giant corporation holding company, and they are the corporation that is the umbrella for the chemical company, the pharmaceutical company, the food company, the water company. It is all from one corporation. Unfortunate.
It, well, you know, we don't have to put up with it. We can, you know, take matters into our own hands. We still have the availability. This is a good thing. We can still buy real food. That hasn't disappeared yet from the shelves. Now, interestingly, genetically modified organisms have been banned in much of the European Union. They won't stand for that.
Right.
And not the case in this country. And it's all about politicians being lobbied, which is a polite term for being bought off, bribed, lobbied to vote against the labeling of foods that have been genetically modified. Probably every food in the supermarket that's in a package has genetically modified ingredients in it, unless it says organic.
Right. Actually, there would be some, they don't necessarily say organic, but it would have a little blue seal and say non-GMO.
So you can have that as well, organic, or at least it'll say non-GMO.
Non-GMO, right. And I hear some music very softly in the background, Dr. Slavin, which means we need to take a break. You're listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Cimarelli here with Dr. Herb Slavin, and we'll be right back after these messages. Have your lab work done at AMT Centers. That gives you the opportunity for a nutritional evaluation of your lab test results. Florida licensed nutritionist Janet Cimarelli can offer a review of your lab results with suggestions for dietary and supplemental support to balance your blood test results. For more information, visit amtcenters.com or call 754-216-2332.
Are you looking for expert advice on how to improve your health, but want to do it from the comfort of your home? Now you can conveniently schedule remote consultations with Janet Cimarelli at janetcimarelli.com. Janet is a licensed nutrition counselor specializing in the field of natural foods and supplements. Janet offers consultations via telephone, Skype, or email with convenient and flexible times to meet the needs of your busy life. Janet will educate you on how to manage your diet and lifestyle to overcome illness. Her areas of expertise include allergies, diabetes, heart disease, hormone replacement, weight management, insomnia, and healthy aging. Don't wait. Schedule your appointment with Janet, and she'll guide you to change your diet and change your life. Take control of your health at janetcimarelli.com. And tune in to hear Janet on Natural Doc Radio, Monday through Friday, 10 to 11 a.m., right here on AM 1470 WNN.
And welcome back. You're tuned to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutrition counselor, and I'm here with Dr. Herb Slavin. And I want to remind everyone that tomorrow evening at 7 o'clock is a seminar on thermography. And if you don't know about thermography, this is a seminar for you. It will be an eye-opening education. And that's tomorrow evening at the Institute of Advanced Medicine, 7 o'clock. And if you would, please give the Institute a call to let them know that you would like to come to the seminar. The number to call, 954-748-4991. So that's tomorrow night, Wednesday the 9th at 7 o'clock, Institute of Advanced Medicine. And you can get all of the details when you call. 954-748-4991. Dr. Slavin?
And Janet, it's not just about thermography. Really, it's about breast cancer prevention. Not breast cancer detection.
Right.
Big difference between the two, but breast cancer prevention. Are we allowed to say that?
Can
you say that?
I can say that. You can say that. I can't say that.
You know, that's kind of strange. I thought you just can't treat disease, but you can prevent it. You can't prevent disease.
No, I am not.
You can promote breast health.
Yes, I can. I am not allowed to say I can prevent, cure, or treat any disease. And what's very, very interesting is, theoretically, the FDA and the AMA can put any group of symptoms together and name it a disease. And as an example, I'm not getting the name exactly right, but hormonal dysphoric disease, that's PMS. So it used to be premenstrual syndrome. That's not a disease, but now it is dysphoric disease. And I can't remember the first word in that description, but it is a disease. And there is a prescription pharmaceutical for that disease. Not with the idea of balancing hormones, but rather...
treating the symptom.
There you go.
Now, can you... talk about preventing premenstrual syndrome?
I can't prevent it.
You can't use the name
prevent. I can help to support hormone balance. I've really learned the phrases over the years of how I'm allowed to discuss supporting people's health.
Now, it's just not you individually that has this ban on speaking. It's any healthcare provider that's not a physician? Is that basically what it is?
I would say.
But
yes.
The average person who's not a healthcare provider can talk about it?
Yes.
Well, maybe
it's
they can't.
Huh.
I don't know. Can someone who has no credentials say, I have a cure for something? No, they can't do that either.
Well, they would be arrested as practicing medicine without a license.
Or we can talk about Lane Labs, and they had a great product. But they said they made too many unsubstantiated claims. In other words, they didn't do a million-dollar study trying to prove that it was showing that it worked. But it did work. I mean, how many patients do you have to have use a product, the problem goes away, but you can't talk about it?
It's a very, very interesting viewpoint. And what's very, very sad is we, as Americans, we think we are in the land of the free. And there are so many constraints on our freedom of speech. You have to know how to phrase things in order to be able to maintain that freedom.
So you say there are restraints on our freedom of speech. Does that mean you don't have freedom of speech?
We have freedom of speech within a narrower view than we think we do.
Now, I thought you could talk about a product. As long as you're not selling that product or not associated with the company selling that product.
Well, it's very, very interesting because there can be generations of research. So let's say going back 100 years, there is 100 years of history of using a particular herb to create a specific beneficial response. And let's say garlic. And you can have certain reports that garlic was able to improve blood flow, improve blood pressure, improve lipids in the blood. It has been shown in on numerous occasions to have those beneficial effects. However, if you're going to put that information in writing and you're going to be selling that particular item, there has to be a separation of space. You can't put the research information right beside the product that you are offering. It has to be in a different location. So to me, that's really restricting my freedom of speech. And it's such a sad thing because a common substance such as garlic, and I will say that raw garlic in your diet, cooked garlic in your diet, garlic combined with olive oil, and then aged garlic extract that you can find in supplements, that whole picture, all of those different things are known to have slightly different effect on your body. And the effects are very, very beneficial. So important. Something so simple, very, very helpful. And unfortunately, in a store selling garlic supplements, you have to be careful how you phrase it.
So then people really have to go to the internet or read books that have been written about the benefits of these products?
Okay.
Well, you can't even find it on the internet. They're restricted from saying things on the internet.
No, you're going to find a lot of very, very interesting information, but there might be people on the internet, Quackwatch kind of jumps to mind, that might give you some really negative aspects of garlic. Now, garlic is a blood thinner, so if you overuse it, is there a danger? Yes, but if you overuse water, if you overuse pretty much any any substance, there are consequences for that overuse or overindulgence.
Let me ask you an interesting question. Now, we say it's important to limit sugar and definitely avoid high fructose corn syrup. Now, part of the reason is that when they put these sweeteners in so many products because it's addicting, that sweet sensation. Is stevia addicting like regular sugar?
Okay, now, boy, is that a very, very good question, because I had a conversation with one of the clients yesterday, and she had been addicted to Diet Coke for a very long time, and that's aspartame. And so, and that aspartame has a deleterious effect on brain chemistry. So she broke that addiction and she still has the craving for sweets. And I was talking to her about using stevia, but you still have to, in my opinion, be aware of not overdoing stevia. Now, the stevia does not have the same effect on blood sugar chemistry, so it won't spike your blood sugar as high fructose corn syrup or sugar will do. But there is some research out there talking about stevia actually having a beneficial effect on balancing your blood sugar and minimizing what diabetics need to be doing to keep their blood sugar stable. They will benefit from using stevia. But long-term excessive use of stevia, I say we still don't know. It's been used for years and years and years in South America, but we don't necessarily have information about excessive use. And that's what Americans do. They tend to be excessive in many of the things they consume.
Now, I'm just trying to process all this. Wasn't there a time that stevia was illegal?
I'm so very glad you brought that up, Dr. Slavin. It's very interesting because it had to be imported into the country, not as a sweetener, but just as an herb that was supportive of health. And what was the reason? At the time, aspartame was being introduced into the marketplace as a non-caloric sweetener. And so had they allowed stevia into the country at the same time, then it might have been a competition. There's no calorie content or very, very low calorie content with stevia. But the big thing is it doesn't disturb your blood sugar chemistry, whereas aspartame, zero calories, but there is an impact on blood sugar chemistry.
Now, who makes those decisions?
Well, it happens to be related to those giant chemical companies and the relationship that is part of the relationship that they have with government officials. And Dick Cheney figures into this decision again.
Well, I think just because he's on the board, I don't know that he made the decision. But here's what I want to say. Let me understand. So aspartame has a history of about 20 years, maybe?
Aspartame? Okay, this is 25 to 30, going to say. Yeah.
And it's artificial, and meaning it's never been seen on the planet, let alone by the human body, until it was discovered or manufactured in a lab. And stevia... from Peru, isn't it?
Well, South America.
South America.
But yes, Peru.
Used for thousands of years as a sweetener.
Yes.
Long history of safety.
Yes.
No side effects.
Yes.
And that was the product.
But it doesn't have $1 million double-blind placebo-controlled study.
But that was the product they were blocking, and they couldn't even think to maybe grandfather it in because it had been shown safe for over thousands of years. Meanwhile, aspartame is one of the most complained about ingredients in food as far as symptoms go.
Right.
I think part of the reason is aspartame is converted to formaldehyde in the
right.
body.
Neurological symptoms.
And so neurological symptoms, meaning you could have a Parkinson-like syndrome because of the aspartame, but that's completely okay with the establishment. Just food for thought.
Food for thought. And here's that music again. You're tuned to Natural Doc Radio, and we will be right back after these messages.
Are you concerned with the current state of your heart and blood vessels? Advanced Medical Testing Centers, your premier blood draw center, draws for Singulex Labs, which offers specialized blood tests that can help you uncover hidden cardiovascular disease that other tests may miss. Talk to your doctor today about the Singulex tests and call Advanced Medical Testing Centers to schedule your blood draw. We guarantee your on-time appointment and guarantee the lowest price. Call us at 754-216-2332. That's 754-216-2332. Or visit us at amtcenters.com. Advanced Medical Testing Centers is a proud sponsor of Natural Doc Radio, which airs on this station each weekday morning at 10 a.m.
The Institute of Advanced Medicine brings you the latest in natural health care, reviewing the published research, attending conferences with health experts from around the world. That allows the healthcare team at the Institute of Advanced Medicine in Lauderhill to provide you the quality and experience you're searching for in a healthcare team. Testing to target your individual needs and treating with natural and holistic approaches, the goal is wellness. You can reach the Institute of Advanced Medicine easily on Commercial Boulevard just west of the Florida Turnpike or three blocks east of University Drive in Lauderhill. You can call us 954-748-4991 to learn more. 954-748-4991. Welcome back. You're tuned to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist, and I'm here with Dr. Herb Slavin of the Institute of Advanced Medicine. A reminder, thermography seminar tomorrow evening, 7 o'clock at the Institute of Advanced Medicine. And if you'd like to join us, 954-748-4991 is the number to call.
So now I get it. You can say thermography seminar. You just can't say breast cancer prevention seminar.
Yeah, I can't. You can.
Okay. A thermography seminar, you could say.
Absolutely, okay. Because I'm talking about a technology, and I'm not claiming that that technology is going to do anything, but Dr. Slavin can claim that
technology.
Well,
I'm not just going to claim that. I'm going to explain
gonna show
it and show you why, if you just understood the facts, there'd be no question that it's a valuable tool. And if you knew the facts, there'd be no question that mammograms are a total waste of time.
Okay. I'm going to phrase this very carefully. Mm-hmm. Mammograms go far beyond a total waste of time. And I tell people to think about the consequences of significant compression of delicate fatty tissue that is hormonally sensitive, and then add to that compression radiation. Does it make sense to radiate, as in X-ray, soft tissue? Oh, X-rays are very, very good at evaluating our skeleton and dense tissue such as bones and teeth, but is it the preferred way of visualizing soft tissue?
I had a discussion with my daughter last night, and we were talking about she had a serious problem. It was a dermoid tumor.
Okay.
And then she was reminding me the circumstances. I said, did the doctors miss it? Well, you know, the way she described it, and this is important because I'm leading up to something important here. She bent over, did something, and she felt something give in her abdomen. This is in the rectus sheath, the muscles in the abdominal wall give, and a lot of pain. And then she had CAT scans and showed a hematoma. And then later on, and I don't remember how they made the transition from hematoma to dermoid. Dermoid is like she said. It's like one step above a keloid, and yet it's and one step below sarcoma. I mean, it's a progression. There could be very serious. So she had surgery, removed the whole dermoid tumor with her rectus sheath, the muscles on that side, and she said this is a. And she's a veterinarian, so she did a lot of research, and she was on top of what they were doing. And, you know, they really didn't do anything wrong. It's difficult to diagnose sometimes, but it's a hormonally receptive situation there. They said the description was this was after she had given birth. So that's the time period when these tumors appear, apparently. The hormones are very active at that time. and perhaps the bleeding, the hemorrhage that they saw on CAT scan also predisposed increasing inflammation and might have predisposed to the development of it. So be that as it may, where I'm going here is with the breasts, very hormonally sensitive tissue. Now you're irritating it with radiation and compression, and the studies do show that women getting regular mammograms have a higher incidence of breast cancer because, well, they say, well, because you're picking it up. You're testing more people, but also perhaps because you're irradiating the breasts and compressing the breasts and just damaging the breasts, which is another factor, risk factor, for breast cancer. So you have to think about things. Why would anybody in their right mind do a mammogram if you think about what it's doing to your breast, especially when you have alternative ways of visualizing the breast? And I'm not talking about thermography specifically because that's more of an alternative approach. Let's go to an MRI. Forget the enhanced digital mammograms. You're still compressing the breasts and exposing them to radiation. But with an MRI, no compression, no radiation, and a far superior picture of the breast. And when you use contrast in conjunction with all this, with over a 90% certainty, you can determine whether something is malignant or not before you even stick a needle in the breast. And that step is entirely skipped by the doctors. They do a mammogram. Oh, that looks suspicious. And they go stick needles in the breast now. Part of the presentation tomorrow night, I'll show you pictures of what mammograms look like, what MRIs look like, what thermographies look like. You could judge for yourself what approach you'd like.
Okay, now you said what person in their right mind would choose to have a mammogram. And I will tell you, it is someone who has been frightened out of their right mind. You are told by mainstream practitioners, women are told by mainstream practitioners that you are missing out on a medical opportunity to keep you safe. You are not necessarily told that this is early detection. You are led to believe that this is a test to lead you in the direction of prevention of disease. And it is frightening manipulation of the patient that leads them to do a mammogram. And I will raise my hand as someone who was frightened into it one time. Never, ever, ever again will I subject myself to that because I can see that it does not make sense.
So that was just your own observation. In other words, you didn't know what you were in for before you had it the first time. And then after you had it and you thought about it,
this is crazy. And so someone exclaiming in pain, let's go right past discomfort into pain, and the technician saying, oh, it's okay, it's just for a second.
But
no, it is not okay.
But after all, mammograms save lives, right?
Propaganda. I'm sorry, it's propaganda.
Yeah, and tomorrow's seminar, we'll show you all this information, the studies that refute everything you've heard about why you need a mammogram. And I'm not against, I am against mammograms because it's not a good tool. But what I'm really for is preventing illnesses. And that's what mainstream medicine totally ignores because the big bucks. And this is what mammograms do. It has nothing to do with preventing breast cancer. It has nothing to do with even preventing deaths from breast cancer. It's for finding people with breast cancer in a fast and inexpensive way so then they can make the big bucks in treating the breast cancer.
I was reading a little excerpt of a book, and I don't remember the author. The author is an MD, and the book title is Medical Armageddon. And he was referring to the fact that modern-day medicine refers back to Hippocrates and Greek science and that as the birth, so to speak, of modern day view of disease and treatment of disease. And this doctor is saying, that development was actually based on some good observation and good sense. But the truth is, in the 17th century, when the scientists were very, very physics and mathematically oriented and began to dissect the body and create a picture of parts that were totally separate from one another. So rather than acknowledging that we are an entire human being of very gently but specifically interconnected whole, we are taken bit by bit apart. And instead of understanding that interconnectedness, we are being treated as a liver, or an immune system, or a joint problem, not the whole picture of hormones and neurology and all of that.
You say that started in the 17th century?
That's what divided up the body? Well, that's what this doctor is saying, that it has just begun to, or it had gotten more intense with that very, very pinpoint scientific approach.
Well, and clearly that's the way it's done now. And my take on it is that your primary care physician, because that's all you had at one point, are really primary care physicians, not that many specialists. And the primary care physicians would only prescribe a certain number of prescription drugs. But now when you have so many different specialties that you would go to, so now the primary care physician will send you to this one, to that one. So instead of being on a handful, maybe 2, 3, 4 drugs, people come in on 10, 12, 14 drugs, because each specialty has their own group of drugs that they use, each one more dangerous. The more specialized you get, the more dangerous the drugs get. And the drug companies are selling far more drugs than ever before. I used to joke about it, is they have a sales force they don't have to pay for.
Right.
What's wrong with that picture?
Very, very clever setup. Very interesting.
And when they try to reward the physicians, they'll take them out to dinner for an educational seminar, send them on trips. There's a big uprising. They've made that illegal, which I think it should be. I don't think doctors should be influenced.
Lobbied, so to speak.
Right, into what drugs they prescribe. And I can tell you, you know, when I used to go to those seminars, it didn't make me use the drugs, but I have a bent against using drugs until you are unable to correct the problem, which is hardly ever. You can always correct the problem if you look for the cause. Mainstream medicine never looks for the cause. That's not the way they're taught.
They treat the symptoms.
So they treat the symptom and they give out the drug. But if you look for the cause, you can usually correct the problem and not have to resort to a drug.
Dr. Slavin, what year was there the change that, number one, doctors were allowed to advertise their services and pharmaceutical drugs were advertised to the consumer? They weren't just educating the doctor. They were advertising to the consumer.
You know, I think it's around 15, 20 years ago, maybe. It wasn't that far off, right?
It wasn't so long ago.
And I thought it was wrong that, you know, I think to a certain point, doctors can advertise. I think there was a time lawyers weren't even allowed to advertise, and they advertise. Certainly the drug companies weren't allowed to advertise, and now they do more advertising than anybody everywhere in print media, on the television, radio.
So was it around the same time that it became illegal to have tobacco companies advertise?
Well, maybe it was. Tobacco and alcohol cannot advertise, and maybe it was a substitution for revenue. You know, the trade-off was we're getting rid of tobacco and alcohol advertising. We'll let the drug companies advertise and pay for it.
We're just saying. And so You are tuned to Natural Doc Radio. We're coming up on our last break. Please stay with us more after this break. Current medical treatment addresses problems and symptoms when your ship of health has gone aground, hit the shoals of disease, so to speak. Now, advanced medical testing helps to guide you through the stormy seas of disease. The information from high-tech lab tests such as Doctor's Data, Spectracell, Cleveland Heart Lab, Access, Health Diagnostics Laboratory, and Genova. These advanced tests assist you and your doctor to navigate the treacherous waters of disease development. Call 754-216-2332 to find out more, or visit amtcenters.com.
Are you in search of the fountain of youth, trying to figure out how to stay young and healthy? There are three main factors that will determine how well you age. The good news is you can take control of all of them and dramatically slow down your aging process. Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutrition counselor, offers remote counseling sessions. She'll work with you to help you manage these three areas to stay young, vibrant, and healthy. She'll help you maintain optimal health that will have you looking and feeling young again. Sessions are offered via telephone, Skype, or email. Sessions are 30 minutes long, and she'll provide you with the in-depth knowledge and information you need to slow the aging process. Schedule your appointment today at janetcimarelli.com. Don't wait, your clock is ticking.
And welcome back. You're tuned to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Cimarelli here with Dr. Herb Slavin. And just one more reminder about the thermography seminar tomorrow evening, 7 o'clock at the Institute of Advanced Medicine. Call 954-748-4991 if you're interested in attending this extremely informative seminar. Dr.
Slavin, and Janet, you're going to be there, right?
I am going to be there because I am such a very, very outspoken supporter of thermography.
And I'm going to be there because I'm going to talk about breast cancer prevention.
I'm so glad you'll be there. Breast cancer prevention.
You know,
I didn't say that.
Now, when we're off the air and you're talking to people in private, do you talk differently?
Do you still
have to watch yourself?
If I'm speaking to clients, mm-hmm. I have to speak very, very specifically, and I have to write things down. Because sometimes if I don't write things down, they don't necessarily hear my restrained speech.
Or if you qualify it in advance, you say, okay, this is what's been reported in the literature.
Then it's good, right? I do say that. I will tell them that this is where you can go for the information that I'm about to talk to you about. Or I'm going to say, I have no research that I can send you to. My experience has been such and such. And there are different ways of saying it.
Of course, experience doesn't count for anything because...
No.
Mm-hmm. You need a double-blind placebo-controlled study.
And I didn't have $1 million.
But even there, when you do that, as they did with the TAC trial, which stood for Trial to Assess Chelation Therapy, they had a double-blind placebo-controlled study which showed chelation therapy was very effective.
And it still didn't make the headlines.
And except I think now they don't have a leg to stand on to try and ban it or, well, actually, you know, they have tried to ban it. You know how? There's a shortage of IV bags. You can't get IV fluids. It's very difficult. Okay, we're back now, so I'm not sure how much you missed, but I have to tell you, it was very important stuff. It was great stuff that you missed.
Oh, Dr. Slavin was talking about shortage of IV bags. And so in a very kind of surreptitious way, people are the powers that be are interfering with the ability of doctors to provide chelation therapy.
And, you know, I don't know that. I can't really say that's why they created the shortage, to stop doctors from...
Well, you just said they created the shortage. Whoa.
Well, it's the FDA that shut down the manufacturing plant. So there's only one company, I think, now, one or two maybe, making the IV bags for the whole country.
Okay, so let's follow the money, as you say, Dr. Slavin. Who owns that corporation that is now making the only manufacturing facility?
Except, the hospitals have a shortage too, but they have priority in getting the IV fluids and stuff. It's interesting kind of stuff. And why would that even happen, you would think, in the United States? You know, I mean, we have the ability to do whatever we want to do. So if you think about it, if we're not doing it, somebody's behind not doing it.
For sure.
I want to give out a number. We say a lot of provocative things, but we'd also like to know what you're thinking.
Oh, okay.
So we can address it one way or the other, or if the topics... You want to say, we don't mind sharing this. In fact, we encourage or like to share what our listeners are thinking. We set up a special number for this. You just call the number. You'll get a brief message, and then tell us what you're thinking. This is not going on the air right away, but we'll hear about it, and we'll be able to address it in the next show. And that number is 954-338-7313. 954-338-7313.
Okay, I did have a question that someone submitted, Dr. Slavin, there in regard to the thermography. They are inquiring about when there is an abnormal result with a thermography scan. How is it that you're able to do anything that would not be able to be done with a mammogram? They're trying to understand why you get better information from a thermography.
All right, a good question, and I'll address it certainly in more detail tomorrow night, but it's a completely different approach to studying the breast. Mammograms, MRIs, ultrasound, even CAT scans of the breast are looking for the architecture of the breast. In other words, they're looking for a tumor, the presence of a tumor. With thermography, it's a functional test. It's looking at temperatures in the breast. Now, a normal breast should be cool and symmetrical in temperature. If you see hot spots, you know those are areas of hyperactivity, hypermetabolic activity, and that's a risk factor for breast cancer. If you see more severe abnormalities, you can even say, there's probably a tumor there because of the way things look. Now, what creates heat? It's increased blood flow to the area. Well, how does a tumor increase blood flow to the area? Tumors encourage the growth of their own blood supply, and that heats up that area, so you'll see it on thermography. But what you'll see on thermography are a breast environment that predisposes to the development of cancer, and that's why thermography is so important.
And is there a benefit to doing an ultrasound and a thermography?
Well, the benefit would be if we see something suspicious, more than just where we would recommend repeating the thermography in 6 months, because most of the time in the early changes we see on thermography is from hormonal imbalances. If we see something a little bit more, before we send you off to an MRI, we can do an ultrasound to further define it. The reason why I think ultrasounds are almost standard with mammograms now, it's just admitting the lack of information you're getting from a mammogram. So they do them automatically, an ultrasound with a mammogram, because they really don't get all the information they need. I had a patient the other day going for mammograms. Now, her history was she has fibrocystic breasts, very dense breasts that can't see things, and are constantly sticking needles in the breast because they think they see things. And I say, hold on a minute, stop that already. You know, you can do thermography, but if you really want to visualize the architecture of the breast as opposed to the function of the breast, do an MRI of the breast. No compression, no radiation, and a far clearer picture, And I'll show, again, I'll show you, you know, all these pictures. You can judge for yourself.
Okay, totally switching gears on the last few minutes that we have on the show. Universal flu vaccine. The health officials are saying that they're scrambling to stay ahead of the changes in each year's flu viruses. And they are talking about, as millions roll up their sleeves, the researchers hope they got it right. Losing this high-stakes guessing game can mean a lot more than 2 weeks of misery for those people at special risk for flu-related complications, which kill, as you have said many, many times before, and this according to this publication, 36,000 people a year in the U.S. alone. And the researcher is saying they are attempting to do this leap forward with the hope to get a vaccine that will cover a pandemic virus.
Right. Now, just quickly, how much do they get for a flu vaccine now?
I think you get $15 to $25.
You can go to your corner candy store and get it now.
Right.
$15, you say?
$15 to $25.
Okay, and they recommend it for everybody over 6 months of age. So you're talking about over 300 million people should get a flu vaccine. Times $20, I can't calculate that number.
It's a big number. An important number.
And I think that's the most important reason to get it is so they can make money, I think, more than anything.
I want to know where they're manufactured.
That's true, too. The majority come from China.
Yes, they do, and I hear music. And you have been tuned to Natural Doc Radio. Dr. Herb Slavin and myself, Janet Cimarelli, will be here tomorrow night with the seminar. And just a reminder that Natural Doc Radio is brought to you by AMT Centers, and you can go to amtcenters.com to find out more about the special tests available at Advanced Medical Testing Centers. Thanks for tuning in today. Remember, we will be here tomorrow, 10 to 11 on WNN 1470. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to Natural Doc Radio, brought to you by AMT Centers, bringing you health information based on the latest research from respected sources around the world. Learn what you can do to enhance health, strengthen muscles, maximize memory, and energize all the systems of your body. Listen every day for health information on the latest testing procedures available at AMT Centers, as well as the interpretation and action needed based on your test results. Listen for special events at Advanced Medical Testing Centers. Tune in again next time and get healthy. The opinions expressed on the preceding sponsored program were strictly those of its hosts, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of the station, its staff, management, or sponsors.